Empower Radio presents Out of the Fog. Join intuitive guide and spiritual teacher Karen Hager for lively, positive conversation with light workers, healers, and dynamic wisdom keepers. Get ready for inspiration and connection. This is Out of the Fog on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Karen Hager.
Hello and welcome to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager. Each week at this time, we gather for a spiritual conversation and enlightening guests, and I am glad you're here. Time and distance are no barrier to energy, and that means that no matter when you're listening, no matter how you found us, you are here for a reason. And I hope that something in the next hour lights you up and helps you move forward. Now, this last year, 2014, has been a wild one, hasn't it? I know for me personally, there's been all kinds of shifts and changes for career, for health, for all, just in every aspect of my life. I feel like I've seen a lot of growth and change. And as I talk to people, I hear them telling me the same kinds of thing. Don't you wonder what we have to look forward to in 2015? And what does astrology have to tell us about the new year? How can we tap into that information? Well, my guest today is Dr. Michael Lennox. He is a dream interpretation and astrology expert. He's here to talk about the dynamic year ahead and how we can make the most of it. Are you ready to meet him? A practicing astrologer for more than 15 years, Dr. Michael Lennox's popular blog site and daily column on astrology is read by thousands of people every day, and he's got clients all over the world. Michael's also internationally known as a dream interpreter, and he's the author of Dream Sight, a dictionary and guide for interpreting any dream. Dr. Lennox has been seen internationally by millions of viewers, I bet it's squillions of viewers by now, on lots of television shows, beginning with Sci-Fi Network's The Dream Team with Annabelle and Michael. He's been featured on the Emmy Award-winning reality show Starting Over, Soap Network's Soap Talk, MTV's Myths and Urban Legends, National Lampoon's Editorial Desk, The Wayne Brady Show, The Gregory Mantell Show, as well as local news broadcasts across the country from L.A. to Denver to New York. You can find out all about Michael and his work at michaellennox.com. Michael, welcome to Out of the Fog.
Yay, great to be here and out of the fog.
Well, good. That's good. I wonder for people who haven't heard you. Now, I love you, and people who listen regularly know that you and I work together, and I find you delightful in every way. But for people who are just meeting you, can you just say a little bit about sort of who you are and what you do and why you do it?
Sure. I sometimes sort of refer to myself as an ambassador to the unconscious mind, that I'm the guy who helps navigate people's individual experiences of what's available in the unconscious. And when I use the term unconscious mind, I'm referring to everything that's invisible. So it's the psychological aspect of the unconscious mind, where all those silly things live that we pretend don't, and we accidentally say when we meant to say pass the salt, why'd you ruin my life? Whoops, ooh, did I say that? To the place where we connect in with source and spirit and the divine mind, and imagination and creativity flow forth from this place. So to me, everything is either the visible or the invisible. And the invisible is what I call the unconscious mind, and I'm just that guy who can help you interpret what your unconscious is telling you through dreams, through astrology, through psychological theory. And I started doing this as a teenager when I got curious about intuition and tarot cards and dream interpretation, which was a gift I discovered that I had kind of by accident, and I just followed that path the next, you know, four decades, and here I am halfway through, well, probably a little more than halfway through the journey, unless I live to 102, you know, doing my part to raise the vibration.
Why is it so important, do you think, now, for us to be in touch with that unconscious mind?
The world is changing so fast and so vibrantly. And we make up that world. We as individuals create this world that we're living in. And you can say this from a from a hooey-hooey perspective of the veil is thinning, the vibration is raising, and it's up to us to create a more magnificent world through the power of our thoughts. Or you could even just say it in a very practical way. The world is more stressful on the outside than it has ever been before, and it does not show any signs of slowing down or getting calmer. And so when the world is in chaos on the outside, we must turn within to find our sense of stability and sanity so that we can survive in what is a really difficult time to be alive.
I agree with you. I feel like it's like we can't ignore anything that will help us get a closer connection to the divine. We can't ignore anything that's a tool for us to create greater peace, greater connection in the world.
And we know so much about how the mind works these days. Something that the mystics have known for eons is that we really are creating this experience that we're having with the thoughts that we're choosing. And most people who are walking around asleep don't realize that they have conscious control over what they're choosing to think and believe and perceive. It's a muscle, and it can be altered, so that the feelings that come as a result of difficult, challenging, chaotic, fearful thoughts that a person is having can actually be changed. You can have a better feeling life by choosing thoughts that align you with greater consciousness. And this, of course, is, you know, what many of us new thought folks define as God or Source. So it is a spiritual endeavor, but it's also a mental endeavor, and it's an endeavor of the heart.
Well, it may be part of this, too, is blurring the lines a little bit between what is a mental endeavor, what is a spiritual endeavor. Maybe it's part of taking down those walls that separate those two.
You just described sort of something that I'm really committed to, and something that I get, I hear a lot when I'm out there in the world, especially when I'm doing talks and inspirational speaking. My intention is to blur the boundary so that that more people will jump on board the idea that they can have this consciousness-raising experience. I am very careful about the language that I use in the world to describe what's ultimately mystical experiences. I don't ever want to alienate people by speaking in terms that are so, I call it the hooey-hooey, that are just so off the wall that it's like, well, what are you talking about? That just sounds like so much hokum. And yet I also don't want to alienate the others by speaking in such scientific terms that I'm only talking about psychology and then people don't feel inspired by it. So my I think I navigate this line organically and naturally. I think it's part of what my gift is to be in language that speaks to a lot of people by virtue of making mystical experiences more practically understandable and taking the practically understandable aspects of consciousness and infusing them with a little mysticism.
I love that because I'm a big believer that we need to be able to apply what we learn. There needs to be a practical use for the things that we discover.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we look at this last year, 2014, at least for me, I had some enormous changes in just about every aspect of my life. And as I talk to other people, they're saying the same thing. Holy cow, I really went through the ringer. I really so much changed. For some people, it was really good. For some people, it was not so good. For other people, it was a mix. What the heck was going on?
Yes, well, the big element of shift for 2014 had to do with primarily, or at least foundationally, astrologically speaking, a three-year shift that began in 2012 with the planet Pluto and the planet Uranus interacting with each other in a 90-degree angle, a square, if you will. And Pluto is the archetype of change that happens slowly over time. Uranus is the archetype of change that happens very quickly in sudden bursts and reversals and shifts that happen out of nowhere. These are the only two archetypes of change in the astrological pantheon of archetypes. And they were building to this over the last, 40 years. They came together in the 60s. They were at the same place in the sky, and then they just leaned into this 90-degree angle. And 90-degree angle in geometry is the angle of change. 90-degree angle implies that two energies want the exact same thing, but approach it from completely different perspectives. So they're trying to get the other to do it their way. My example of this is always the wall and the floor. The floor screams to the wall, lie down! And the wall screams to the floor, stand up! And they can't ever agree, but together, through their conflict, the wall and the floor make a room. Change. So you've got the slow change and the fast change at the angle of change, creating global and personal change at a really dynamic level. What made 2014 so powerful was that right smack dab in the middle of the year, they hit this angle. They did it seven times, or will do it seven times in total over the 3 years, because of retrograde motion, the appearance that either one of them will be moving backwards at a given time. But in the middle of April this past year, they were in this 90-degree angle, and a whole bunch of other planets participated on other sides of the sky, and we have what was called a grand cardinal cross, that is a big square, not just two angles squaring each other, but four. And that's a rare, rare astrological occurrence. And it happened in the cardinal signs, which are a sensation of signs that are actually associated with the beginnings of seasons, that the cardinal energy implies starting up energy, energy that thrusts forward. And that wave of what I would call spin changed everything about everybody on the planet outrageously. And some people were aligned to receive that as expansion. Other people were aligned to receive that as a deconstruction. And by the way, every breakthrough is usually preceded by a breakdown. So all is good in the world of shift and change. And this rare, rare, rare astrological occurrence was the foundation for a year that was unprecedented in the amount of change that it brought.
Wow. So what we all experienced on a personal level, this is part of what's so interesting to me about astrology. What we experienced on a personal level, me in my way, you in your way, listeners in their own individual ways, was also at the same time happening on that kind of, I don't know, cosmic level, that much bigger level, because of those alignments and those movements.
Yeah, well, and I would the only thing I would qualify there is not because of, because nothing causes anything. Like, the planet's movements don't cause these things. They are reflections of these things. In other words, everything reflects everything else. So the planetary movement reflects the global movement, reflects the individual movement. The individual movement reflects the planetary and the globe. It's all reflections of the same thing. And so when you want to know what's going on inside of you, turn on the news. Because the chaotic moments in the collective are usually reflecting chaotic movements in the personal. And I think one of the things, while this is difficult to navigate these days because it is so scary and chaotic and there's war everywhere, we're also at war on the insides of our consciousness. Yes. And they reflect each other. But there's also magnificent peace brewing as well. And if you're on a spiritual path, I think one of the definitions of that in this modern era is that you are here committed to seeing the peace on the planet unfolding, even if you have to sort of glimpse it through and between the bullets.
And that brings me back to that idea of why it's so important to connect with the unconscious, right?
Exactly.
Because without those tools, if all I am able to do is look at the news and then just freak out and go and eat a dozen donuts, I have missed that opportunity for reflection.
Correct. Correct. And it is a Herculean task. It is not for the faint-hearted. And I like to say that when you step onto the spiritual path, the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, that's true, though.
Because you make an agreement to see things with clarity. And that means being with the shadowy experiences inside your own consciousness, the fear that comes up in order to be transformed, and the resistances that come up in order for you to move towards them and say, oh, wow, I can actually let this go.
When we look at, I wrote a piece for the little newsletter that I put out about the solstice and about how in times of darkness, we have an opportunity to see a greater light, that we can't have one without the other. And you had written a really interesting piece about the solstice and its conjunction then with the new moon. And I wonder if you can say a little bit about that winter solstice that we just had here.
Sure.
And how that plays into this whole bigger picture that we're talking about.
One thing that I'll say about it is that a rare phenomenon happened, that the new moon and the solstice were simultaneous. So the solstice is a moment when the sun crosses a certain made-up line in the cosmos that aligns it with a certain placement that creates what we experience on Earth, the winter solstice is anyway, in the Northern Hemisphere, the shortest day and the longest night. And we symbolically recognize that, as you just so beautifully expressed, a moment where the light must be something that we tap into on the inside, because the outside world is not reflecting it back to us. It's saying to us, there is less light, and we have to say, oh, no, it's just not as visible. I have the light inside me, light within. This is why Christmas and all the big holidays, you know, come up during this time, because there's a spiritual demand of the human race to turn within and find the light. So this is a powerful moment in the solar cycle. And a new moon is always a spark of a new cycle. And the two of them happened at exactly the same time. The sun made this alignment at 3:00 Pacific time on Sunday. And 2 hours later, the moon swiped into this very same position. So you had a perfect alignment of Earth, Moon, and Sun, all at this 0 degrees of Capricorn level. This I can't calculate the odds of when this is going to happen again, but we won't see it in our lifetime, and our children probably won't see it, and our children's children won't see it.
Wow!
It's just a phenomenal acknowledgement that a new cycle is beginning at an enormous level. And of course, we're also at an age turn. We're moving out of the age of Pisces, and we have begun the age of Aquarius. And so that's something that happens every 2,000 years. That's a pretty big shift. And so I think that this alignment of the solstice and the new moon is evidence of this great gear shift, that we're here at a time when things are speeding up ridiculously, and in the language of the hooey, we came here and incarnated at this time to assist the planet in this great shift. And this particular solstice and new moon is like a herald of, we're beginning a mighty task. Here we are. It has started.
Hey, I like the hooey.
Oh, I know, honey. I'm sure everybody who's listening is aligned with the hooey. I just, you know, find myself always having to qualify it as it's coming out of my mouth. It's more about me than you or your listener.
How can someone who's listening, and when I say that, I mean me, how can I maximize this really good energetic space and use it as I'm creating my intentions for the new year, use it to create a space in which I can really align with that energy of change and bring that into my own life?
One way that I love, and it's certainly why I always, in my writings and in my column, both the daily column that I do that's a subscription series, as well as what I put out there on my website and Facebook, acknowledge when the full moons and the new moons are coming, is that there is a natural rhythm, back to this idea that the macrocosm and the microcosm are reflecting each other. There's a natural rhythm of the system that is us, the solar system of us, is aligned with seed planting, harvesting the benefit. Seed planting, harvesting the benefit. Where the new moon, where the sun and the moon are in the same alignment, that's the seed planting moment. And when they're opposite each other, full moon, it's the harvesting the benefit, where we see what we've grown and take it with us and eat it and digest it and say yum yum and let go of that which is no longer serving us. Don't forget, when we harvest the wheat, we let go of the chaff. And so full moons are both about what we gotten and what we leave behind. And these cycles happen on a regular basis up there in the cosmos. What a wonderful rhythm to be aware of, so that when we are wondering about, well, how do I tap into the unconscious mind and take greatest advantage of it in this day and age of information on the internet, you go onto Facebook and instantly know when the full moon and when the new moon is happening, and simply align your personal practice of prayerful intention setting and prayerful releasing to align with the new moons and the full moons. And I think you will have raised the stakes of using the energy that's available to you more effectively, and therefore raise the vibration of your own personal journey. Why not plant a seed when all the farmers on the planet would be planting their seeds?
That's wonderful. That joins your intention with that of the collective, with that greater movement that's going on.
Yeah, it's not like there's a bad time to set an intention.
Right?
But why not do it in a rhythm that's happening in a collective way already?
Well, and we need help to focus. I think that we get out of tune with the natural rhythms because we're so connected with, are they artificial rhythms? We're so connected with other rhythms that don't match those rhythms of the planet or the rhythm of the movement of the universe, whatever that is. And so anything that we can hang on to helps pull us back.
Yes. I think one of the things that this inspires me to mention is back to this macrocosm, microcosm reflection idea. Everything has a rhythm that's exactly like the new moon and the full moon. It's out to the solstice or the solstices, where the summer solstice is like the out-breath or the in-breath, I guess, and the winter solstice, where the light is the least, is the out-breath.
Huh.
Is no different than the new moon, full moon, where the new moon is the dark of the moon, when we can't see anything at night because the moon is hidden by the sun's light, is no different than the winter solstice. And the full moon, where it's the brightest, is no different than the summer solstice. And this same in-breath, out-breath, you know, the earth responds with oxygen. During the spring and summer, the atmosphere is most full of oxygen. And then during the winter, it's most full of carbon dioxide because the earth herself is breathing just like we do. And so in a 24-hour daily cycle, the sun rises, most light, the sun sets, least light. And this goes all the way down to our personal individual experience of in-breath and out-breath. So this binary code cycle is reflected from the individual level at the breath to the daily level of sunrise and sunset, to the monthly level of new moon, full moon, to the yearly level of solstice in the winter, solstice in the summer.
Wow.
And so when you align with one, you're automatically aligning with all. So if you did nothing but honor the full moon and new moon cycles in a ritualized basis in your ongoing monthly life, and did a little meditation practice that involved connecting in with the breath so that you were more conscious of taking an in-breath and an out-breath, there you go. You're golden in terms of tools that help you align with a consciousness that is unfolding perfectly. You want to tap into that and let it take you.
And that kind of alignment, I think, brings us into balance as we begin something new, as we navigate these energetic shifts that are coming, as we move into the new year. And we're getting ready to go into a break. But when we come back, Michael, I'd love to ask you about how do we set ourselves up to move into the next year with as much grace and foresight as possible? Because I talk to people who are setting intentions for the new year, who are making their New Year's resolutions, and a lot of times they're going in a kind of defensive, protective way. This year I will lose 35 pounds and I will be a better person and I will make more money, and they take a very defensive stance. And another way to look at the year ahead is to welcome it in, to embrace it, to prepare yourself to ride that wave. right? You are listening to Out of the Fog. My guest is Dr. Michael Lennox. And when we come back, we'll talk more about what astrology tells us about the year ahead. And I'd invite you to check out his website, michaellennox.com, to check into more of his work. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael Lennox after this.
I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong. I'm home, and I love it. I'm home where I belong.
It's always nice to come home, but these days, many Americans are at risk of foreclosure and losing their homes. Fortunately, help is available. Making Home Affordable is a free program from the U.S. government that has already helped over 1 million struggling homeowners, and we want to help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
And I love it. I'm home.
I'm home.
Find out now what your options are. Go to makinghomeaffordable.gov or call 1-888-995-HOPE. The sooner you act, the better chance we can help you.
I'm home.
I'm home.
Where I be.
Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
I'm Idina Menzel. My music has helped me become a Tony Award-winning singer and songwriter. This is Mahmuda Akhtar. Her training has helped Mahmuda become the local health worker for her village in Bangladesh. Every day, she helps the children in her community survive some of the leading causes of child mortality worldwide. The only reward that Mahmuda gets for her work is the sound of healthy children. It's music to her ears. When you help local health workers like Mahmuda, you help so many children survive all over the world. See where the good goes at goodgoes.org. Find out all the ways you can help get the good where it needs to go. Brought to you by Save the Children and the Ad Council.
Sassy! Sassy!
This week's episode, Fire at the Shed.
Gee, Johnny, this rope swing sure is swell.
Don't I know it.
Hey, it's Sassy! I think she's trying to tell us something. Mr. Gunderson? What about Mr. Gunderson? A fire? Mr. Gunderson's trapped?
Where, Sassy? Where?
What, Sassy? Now that you've got our attention, you'd like to take a moment to talk about shelter pets? Shelter pets in general are well-adjusted, healthy, and love being with people?
Sassy, we don't have time!
Pets often end up in shelters due to owner problems like divorce or allergies?
That's great, Sassy, but what about the fire?
There is no fire! You're just messing with our heads?
Sassy!
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt!
And now back to Out of the Fog with Karen Hager on Empower Radio. EmpowerRadio.com.
Welcome back to Out of the Fog. I'm Karen Hager, and my guest is Dr. Michael Lennox. We are talking about what astrology has to tell us for the year we're going through, 2014, and the year ahead, 2015. And we're talking about that intersection also of the conscious and the unconscious mind, and how we can gain tools to help us be more connected to a full experience of our lives. You can find out more about Michael and his work at michaellennox.com. There are some wonderful resources there, including a daily astrological report that he sends out to subscribers. Lots of good stuff there. And while you're on the internet, go ahead and check out karenhager.com. I love to get your feedback about this show. Do you like what you're hearing? Do you have any questions? Who would you like to see as a guest on this show? You can always contact me through my website, karenhager.com. Now, Michael, before the break, we were talking about how preparing for change. We've moved through this time, the solstice time, that helps, if we choose to, helps us focus on setting new intentions, getting ready for the change ahead. What is 2015 going to bring? It's going to be really, really calm, right? All the change is over. Super calm. It's all like cupcakes and kittens and rainbows, right?
Well, no.
Oh.
But here's, first of all, one of the things about astrology, when we're looking at the general weather, is that everybody taps into these shifts and changes that are general and collective in a very individual way. So there are lots of people who will have a greater experience of shift and change this year than this coming year, that is, than they did this 2014, just based on their individual makeup, geometrical makeup, based on their first breath. But in a overview kind of way, nothing will be like the chaos of 2014. But there are a couple of things that are worthy of taking notice of. One is that this cycle of change initiated in 2012 by Pluto and Uranus coming together in a square, this started in June of 2012 and had six already gear shift moments, has the seventh and final one this March. So March is a pretty wild month. March and into April, it brings us the final square between Pluto and Uranus. So you can think of, well, how has life been changing that started in a significant way in 2012? There's more to come and a kind of final act of shift and change in March. And then right after the square is exact comes the eclipses, which is always an intense time. So March into April, absolutely everybody should have their seatbelts on. And, for some people, that'll be a quiet finish because it's over. And for some people, the fat lady will just begin singing.
Huh.
Another thing that is very general, too, but absolutely felt dynamically and significantly, is that Saturn is changing signs. And this is something that happens every 2.5 to 3 years. And we feel this very acutely, because Saturn is the archetype of life lessons. He is the great teacher. And when Saturn changes signs, it's like a curriculum shift for the planet. And he has been in the sign of Scorpio for the past 2.5 years, whereby all of the intensity of life lessons have been very Scorpionian. Well, that's a terrible, wrong bastardization. But in the Scorpio archetype, which is all about death and rebirth, mystery and occultism, hidden things and secret things, depths of feeling that are profound and overwhelming. And so one of the hallmarks of the last couple of years and the intensity that we've been experiencing has been this life lesson archetype being in this really challenging sign, Scorpio, which takes all of the shifts and changes that we go through in consciousness and makes them deep and dark and significant, like a death rebirth, that we've all died to self a little bit over the last few years to be reborn. In fact, you and I are speaking in the first hour of Saturn in Sagittarius, an hour before we got on the phone for this live call experience. Saturn just changed signs. Now, he will retrograde back into Scorpio both in the spring and the summer of, but that is, he'll go back into Scorpio in the spring and come back into Sagittarius in the summer. So he's not quite done with the depth and the intensity. But as of right now, anyone listening to this podcast, be on alert that we are in a new curriculum. And the curriculum is Sagittarian in nature, which is all about higher truth. Transparency, here's an interesting thing. Saturn in Scorpio was the changes are behind the scenes. Saturn in Sagittarius says, not anymore. The changes are out there in the world. And it's about walking your talk at a very high level. So if you've been doing work behind the scenes and that is in your own psyche, in your own process, that is private and hidden and secretive, you can expect there to be a shift in where those bumps may be experienced. You know, if, as an example, if addiction is part of your journey, and you haven't mastered coming across that threshold, there's going to be more outside bumps and challenges than inside bumps and challenges. So it behooves you to really be ready to walk your talk at a much, much more transparent and visible level, because Sagittarius is very much about higher truth and being out there in the world with what you know. And that's a huge shift for 2015.
It's enormous. You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about the recent emails that were leaked and where we hear about people in the news, trusted entertainers, and now allegations are coming forward. Is that the kind of thing that you're talking about, where there really isn't somebody, you know, they say don't pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Is this somebody taking down the curtain?
I think that's a perfect example of the collective reflecting something that was going on astrologically and therefore personally as well. And the call to action is, there is no more wiggle room. And yeah, you can be in an argument and a debate about, is this a good thing? Is this a bad thing? Is Big Brother really real? And isn't this awful? But that's just a waste of your time and energy and resources, because this is what is occurring, that there is a world that we live in right now where the ability to have secrets and hidden lives is done. It's over with, which is why living in integrity is ever more important, because there is no such thing as the curtain that the man can stand behind. And this, so yes, as Saturn was creeping in the very last degree of Scorpio, the mastery degree of any sign is that 30th degree, and Saturn is saying, okay, we're about to leave this territory. I've got to do the most important lessons right now, because if you don't get this, I'm about to leave this territory. We gotta cram it in. And that experience with that hacking and that leak happened just as Saturn was at this mastery degree. And so, yes, the message for all of us is, I believe, live in integrity and you have nothing to worry about. And if you are doing things, listen, I can never run for mayor. You know, but I don't have shame about the things that I choose to do that many people might judge. So it doesn't mean you have to live some life that other people would approve of. You just have to be very careful of, are you ashamed of the choices that you're making? And if you are, choose differently.
Well, and I really believe for myself, I decided long ago that I was going to have a no lying policy. And it really means that you have to be invested in the choices that you make so that you can tell the truth about who you are and what you're doing, even as you make choices that maybe later you go, that was a boneheaded thing to do.
Right. I would choose differently today than I did then, but I am not ashamed of the choice. I did things that I did with conscious awareness and therefore compassion with my own rhythm of learning, so that we, you know, can stand in the truth of, I used to do this. I used to binge eat the, you know, pint of ice cream as a routine part of processing my feelings, but I was doing the best I could at the time.
Well, and I believe, too, that it's when we can talk about those aspects, when we're not afraid for those to be seen, that we also can be kind of a greater light for other people, and that encourages them to tell the truth, which encourages more people to tell the truth. And then we did make rainbows and kittens. Look, we fixed the world just by doing that. I've been seeing a lot of stuff on TV, reading it in the papers, seeing it online, about things that make me worried about war, about conflict between nations, about internal corruption that then thwarts peace processes. And I'm wondering if, from where you sit, Michael, you can give me an idea of what the stars hold, what the energetic cycles hold for peace in the world.
Well, I do not have anything comforting to say.
I kind of figured, because it's not looking so good.
I really don't. Ultimately, I have something very comforting to say, but not everybody's ready to hear my particular message of peace. Let me start by saying that Pluto is the archetype of change, as we've already talked about. And when he moved into the sign of Capricorn in 2008, that's when all the structures began to fall apart, because Pluto rules change and Capricorn rules structure. And almost to the week, you know, when Pluto moved into Capricorn, I think it was Bear Stearns went under. So there was no surprise to us astrologers of the simultaneity of the archetype of change moving into the archetype of structure, saying, okay, all these structures have to go. And even though the square between Pluto and Uranus is the most chaotic of the changes during this three-year period, Pluto has another decade in the sign of Capricorn. And so I can foresee nothing but more and more and more. War, destruction, breakdown of structures, the patriarchy grasping madly for control as it begins to slip away while integration between the divine masculine and the divine feminine is occurring. So I can't say, oh, yes, it's all going to start to get better. However, it's irrelevant if you are committed to a higher level of consciousness, because we are here as human beings to see and know the truth. And the truth is that there is only one source here, that there is an arc that continually moves towards good and love and light. Not that there's only love and light and there is no darkness and shadow. It's all one. And I don't have any trouble with the fact that there is war in the world. I don't, because I'm committed to living a life that sees integration happening. I'm also not worried about peace, because I don't have a myopic notion of a fantasy that I'm going to see this peace that I'm up to creating in my lifetime. It will not happen in my lifetime, but I have a job to do. My job is to raise the vibration to the highest capacity I can while I'm here, and to inspire as many other individuals to do the same as I possibly can, so that those who are here after I am gone continue the work of creating peace on the planet, and maybe we'll have to come back in 7 or 8 generations to see the kind of peaceful coexistence of humanity that I think is occurring. But if you're looking for the evidence of this happening in your own lifetime, you are looking in the wrong place. It will look despairing and hopeless if you do that. So don't.
Because I was hoping
Jay, I'm here to create something that people can stand on my shoulders after I'm gone.
Ah. And see, I was hoping for peace by maybe Thursday.
Yeah, not going to happen.
And I'm hearing you say that we need to take the wider view. It's interesting, though. There's that interesting dance between, you were talking about how everything reflects everything else, and the movement inside me at an even cellular level is the movement of the cosmos. Where is our ability to make change? If all these things are true, and the movement, and it shifts the curriculum, and it's all the reflection, how do I get to the place where I go, wait a minute, I'm not happy seeing all this war. I'm not happy seeing death. How do I tap into my change?
Look at your feet.
Huh.
I'm sort of kidding, but I'm really not. What I'm talking about is getting into the moment of where you are actually at, inside your heart, all is well. That is, right now, I'm sitting in my favorite armchair where I do my meditation on a beautiful Southern California morning, talking to one of my favorite people in the world about things I love and am passionate about, and living a Dharma that took me decades to create and generate. I am happy. And I'm happy because I am right where my feet are. And so you might be listening to me and saying, well, but I don't do for a living what I love, or, you know, I'm not in Southern California. It's 20 below where I am. But it's still possible right in the moment where you are inhabiting, to put your hand on your heart and be grateful for your breath. and therefore have an experience of happiness and bliss because you're in this magnificent body and that you're in this magnificent life unfolding. If you look outside of you, you can't have that same experience of bliss. If I think about what I have to do for the rest of the day, and I did not sleep very well last night, which means it's going to be more difficult for me energetically to attend to, you know, that last reading I have to do at the end of my day today that is later than I prefer to work, and I have to travel out to a house call, which I never do, and I mean, blah, 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 blah. You see, what am I going to focus on?
Right.
If I focus on this moment, this breath, all is well. And I'll get to that moment, and I'll be in it when I'm there, and all will be well when I get there. This is what all spiritual practice, no matter what it is, whether it's a meditative practice or doing yoga or knitting, is designed to do. It's designed to put you back into the moment without your mind chattering away at you about things that aren't happening in the room. You know, some of the ways that I work with people and their relationships is I remind them that if someone's not in the room with you, you're not allowed to talk to them. But most people spend most of their day talking to people who aren't in the room about how mad they are. And that just breeds unhappiness and discourse. So it's kind of like the same thing when someone is sitting in their home or driving in their car, thinking about how awful it is because there was a terrible suicide bombing in Afghanistan this past week, or that something's happening with our police force that is just ridiculous, and then people are responding to that by killing policemen. Wow, if you spend all day thinking about that, who's not going to be miserable? That's a miserable thing to start thinking about. So not thinking about these things and putting your hand on your heart and coming back into the moment isn't a callous disregard for what's happening out there, because I think sometimes people think that that's what it is. When people say to me, well, how can you not think about those things? And I think, well, how can you think about those things? That's not helping. That's not raising the vibration. I know the peace and the truth of my humanity, and that helps the vibrational field around me touch others and brings the whole system up so that as these terrible things are happening, we move toward healing them as opposed to making them worse.
And I believe personally, I know personally, because I feel like it changed my life, that breath, that free, renewable breath, I believe puts us in the place, that's where change happens. That's
where change happens.
Oh, it's where love happens. It's where divine connection happens.
Yeah.
And if I choose to look at those things, the suicide bombing or the whatever it is, or the wonderful things in the world, I can look at them from a place of out of alignmentness, of disconnection, or I can use that breath and decide to look at them from the place of me being centered, me
Correct.
Being in
and,
the moment.
Yeah. And if you must think about these things because you're aligned to, then send love.
Right.
Use it as an opportunity to prayer. Prayerfulness is the best way to use the mind. The mind is always going to be active doing something. It might as well be praying. And so if you take that on as a full-time job, then all of these difficult and terrible and chaotic experiences that are happening in the world are simply opportunities to send love and light to people who are suffering.
And these are free tools that are available to you wherever you are, no matter what is happening, no matter how happy or sad or angry or not angry, no matter what, you always, always have that tool. And we forget. We reach for stuff outside ourselves. We reach for things that we think are supposed to work, or somebody tells us it'll work, or we spend $88 trillion on a cream or a book or but it's all inside.
It's all inside, and you use the magic word, we forget.
Yeah.
I remember what it was like to be in that path of my own development where I forgot. It's a growing pains moment. It's like the adolescence of spiritual practice. You just go through a period where you have all the tools, but you forget to use them. Okay, that's fine. It's part of the growing process. You know, and so as a teacher, I'm here to sort of say, okay, got it. I have compassion for you forgetting. Now get to it. forget less. Do a better job.
Yeah, take a breath. Take a breath. Begin again.
Yeah, begin again. Begin again.
So as I'm watching, I need a 12-hour show, but as I'm looking at us getting closer to the top of the hour, I want to be sure you let people know about how they can connect with you, connect with your work.
Yes.
And you did a really cool, a conference about looking at 2015. So can you give people all the details and let them know?
Absolutely. So michaellennox.com is my website. And right now on the homepage, there is a description of and a link to purchasing my 2015 Astro Overview. It's about an hour and 10-minute conference call where I talk about 2015 and the various cycles and the Mercury retrogrades and the dates of those and just some inspiration and preparation for how to have a more prepared experience of next year. I also do a daily column subscription. It's $8 a month, which is a steal, and you get an email, a very detailed email in your inbox every night at 9 p.m. Pacific time that describes the astrology weather of the following day. And I can't tell you the response I get from people about this who sign up. It's a tiny investment, and it's a wonderful way to receive guidance about what the weather is going to be like. And that's also available as it's called the Daily Astro Alert. There's a link on that on my homepage about that as well. And I do a lot of posting on Facebook as well. So I take all comers. And so I have my main page as Michael Lennox. And I also have my professional page, which is known as Perchance to Dream. And so you can like Perchance to Dream or ask to be my friend on Facebook, and we can keep in touch that way.
This, I'm wondering what the answer to this is. You have so much experience and such a depth of knowledge. I'm wondering how you use this gift in your everyday life. Do you wake up every morning and get out all the, do you unscroll a big chart and then get the compass and plot the things and then decide if you're going to have cereal or juice or how do you use this in your day-to-day life?
That's a great question. And the fact is that once you get to a certain place of aligning yourself with the unfolding rhythms that are out there in the universe and live individually grounded in the floor of your heart, there is no preparation necessary because you're already in that alignment. And yeah, I've devoted my life to this, and I do have a mighty spiritual practice that is the priority of my life that is attended to on a daily basis. And it took a long time to get that level of discipline to do. I trust the perfect unfoldment of everything that I do choose to do because I have invested an enormous amount of energy over the years in practicing what it is to live at the center of my heart, within my breath, where my feet are. And that's the benefit of that investment, is eventually you get to a place where you don't have to look, is this a good day to do this? Is this a good moment to inhabit that idea? It happens automatically because we are already living in that natural alignment. It is only our mind focused on other things that pulls us out of that alignment. And so the discipline is really to focus the mind only on what it's supposed to be doing, which is really just navigating our movement so that we don't bump into the furniture.
Huh. Do you ever get blindsided or surprised? Does something ever happen and you think, oh, I should have seen that one coming?
I got to tell you, no, not anymore. It doesn't mean that things don't happen that shock and disappoint me. But I cannot think of the last time I felt that experience of how did that happen? Because I've cleaned up as much of the karma and the unconsciousness as I possibly can. I also take responsibility for everything that occurs in my experience. So my relationships are clean. Meaning, if I'm disappointed because of something that you've done, I recognize that you are irrelevant in that conversation. I mean, I might have to set a boundary if you keep doing those terrible things. I might say, well, do I really want Karen in my life? She keeps disappointing me.
I'm so sorry, by the way. I really apologize.
Thank you very much. But, you know, that's another thing that happens as a benefit of this practice is just that you no longer are in blame mentality where you're looking at the behaviors of either other people or other institutions or the world as the source of your discomfort. It's kind of like the idiocy of being mad at the weather for making you wet if it's raining. It's like, look, it's raining. Bring an umbrella.
Michael, thank you so much for being on the show today. What great fun, as always, to connect with you. Thank you.
Yay, yay.
That was Dr. Michael Lennox. You can find out more about Michael and his work at michaellennox.com. That 2015 Astro Forecast is available there, and also his daily Astro Alert column is available there for you. And of course, at KarenHager.com, you can leave me your feedback about what you've heard on the show today. Ask me your questions if you've got any. There's holiday gift certificates there. There's classes. Oh my goodness, there's a lot of good stuff there. It's all at KarenHager.com. And thank you for listening today. Together we are spreading a little more light in the world, and a little more light is always a good thing. Until next time, I'm wishing you peace.